Well, we're studying again the seven dispensations, and to see how often you go through all seven of them, or rather six of them, trying to get to the point where Christ reigns, which is the kingdom age, the revelation, the second coming of Christ, but spiritually, of course, not literally. If you remember, the first one was innocence. That's where you have no knowledge, you're ignorant. You play dumb and you are dumb. You know nothing. And when you came here, you knew nothing. Thinking you knew everything, but knowing nothing. The end result of innocence or no knowledge is expulsion. You can hardly wait, and don't lie. I know you love your kids, but you can hardly wait till they're 18. You can hardly wait till somebody falls in love with your little darling. Because then she'll be gone. He'll be gone. So you see, the age of innocence, and that's how they treat you. They, for 18 years, they treat you like they know nothing. That's their famous excuse. And then from there, you go into conscience. Innocence is no knowledge. And conscience means knowledge from within. In other words, first you don't know anything, and then you know everything. That's a teenager. See, that's when they're little tiny ones, they don't know anything. The minute they hit the teen years, they know everything. And of course, it's knowledge from within. That's conscience. And conscience means obsessive, compulsive thoughts and emotions. In other words, a very compulsive, very emotional individual. The end result of conscience, the person who's in under conscience, is that they feel overwhelmed by everything. Because the end of conscience is the flood. That's how God dealt with those people. He brought the flood. So when you feel deluged and overwhelmed by your responsibilities, by life, you're at the end of conscience. We start now, we go from there to human government. Human government means first God said, run it yourself. I'll give you a perfect environment. You don't know anything, and you'll mess it up. Then I'll turn it over to you, and I'll let you use your knowledge, whatever you think is right, and you'll mess it up. Then he said, now I'll set up human government. I'll give you power and authority and wisdom, and you're still going to mess it up. Because power and authority turned up and ended up in the Tower of Babel, which is confusion. That's where no one understood anybody else. Wife says, my husband doesn't understand me. The husband says, my wife doesn't understand me. And God doesn't understand either one of us. And we don't understand God. And nobody understands anybody else. Here's where we're at now in human government. Let me share with you how human government works. Because it carries with it the responsibility to the one that governs. Genesis 9:1 says, and God blessed Noah and his sons. If you remember, there were eight people in the world at that point. Noah, his three sons, and their wives. But this says, God blessed Noah and his sons. Didn't say anything about the wives. Now the wives are going to get blessed through their husbands. But the blessings went to Noah and the sons. And in a minute, we're going to find out what the blessings are. It's authority. And he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Now that's human government. When God said, I'm going to put all the power in you to run this whole earth, even the animals, everybody, which in this case includes their wives. In other words, Noah and his sons received governing authority, and therefore they received governing responsibility. The wives received no authority to govern. So they have no responsibility to govern. Now, whether you like that or not is really not the issue. The issue is, and if you want to argue with me, let's argue whether the Bible says that. Because that's all I'm telling you. I'm telling you that's what it says. If you want to go back to conscience and knowledge from your end, twist it, run with it, do whatever you want with it. I'm telling you what it says. Noah and his sons received governing authority. Even you ought to be smart enough to see that does not mention their wives. There were no children then, just wives. God bless Noah and his sons did not mention the wives. The authority did not go to the wives. So therefore, neither did the responsibility. Well, some would say the great Houdinis that are sitting out in the pews now are looking for an escape, a way out. And they said, yeah, but that was Noah. Well, we go to verse 8 of chapter 9, and it says, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with all the Houdinis that come after you that try to escape out of this. I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. That's us, friend. In other words, I have the same responsibility that Noah had and his sons. You have the same responsibility that Noah had and his sons, but your wife does not. So therefore, your wife has no governing responsibility. So every time you try to hold her accountable for what's going on, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. And I'm going to prove it to you. Now, God was very careful to say, I bless Noah and his sons. He didn't say, I bless the guy that's here. See, because then that would have been to all the guys that were there later on. He didn't say, and God bless the man, because then that would have been all men. He didn't say, and God blessed the little Jew, because then it would have been just Jews. No, he said, God bless Noah. So he blessed a specific individual. Well, who or what is Noah? Because he's the one that has governing authority and governing responsibility. Well, Noah, if you remember, meant to be settled down, to be rested, to be quiet. Noah means to have peace of mind, mental and emotional calm. Now, why is it that you'd have no authority over your life? No authority over anything. See, the problem is you try to escape from everything because you really don't have the authority that God gave you. Why? Because he gave it to Noah. He gave it to someone who has peace of mind, mental, and emotional calm. Noah means one who is free from distress and free from care. Noah means one who relies or depends on another. So you see, the individual that's trying to figure things out, him or herself, does not qualify as a Noah, because Noah means to rely or depend on someone else. And finally, if you remember, rest or Noah meant to voluntarily end the introduction of evidence in a case. I'm going to tell you something very important here. This is why Noah's name means what it does. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge. He's waiting to render a judgment in your life. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is going to vote in your favor. You are going to be blessed. You are going to be victorious. God is going to rule in your favor. But you see, the judge cannot make a ruling until all the evidence is in. So rest or Noah means to voluntarily end the introduction of excuses in your case. See, that's why there's no judgment. People ask me, well, why are you so blessed? What makes you so special? I stop making excuses. I'm not putting any more evidence into the case. I said, I'm guilty. Render your decision. I'm pleading the blood of Christ. You're guilty and you deserve to go to hell, but you're going to heaven. Well, that's cool. I have no problem with that. But you see, there can be no decision until the evidence is all in. And all I hear is excuse upon excuse upon excuse upon excuse. More evidence. So the case isn't over. So Jesus can't render his decision. It isn't that he isn't going to render in your favor. It's illegal to render a decision until the defense rests. And you're still defending. Well, now some would say, well, that's not true. God doesn't hold just men responsible because Eve messed up. And I knew Houdini was going to pull that one, or rather God did. So let's go back and check to see who really messed up in the garden. Was Adam responsible for what Eve did? Let's find out. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, plural. Well, isn't that what he said about Noah? God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. That's the same thing he told Noah and his sons. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So you see, God blessed them. God blessed Noah and his sons. And God gave them the same blessing both times. Now here's the difference. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God commands the man. Now Eve is there, but God's commanding the man. So God commands the man, so the man has the authority and the responsibility. But it is true, Eve is the one that went and made the mess. I still say it's the man's responsibility, and I'll prove it. And the Lord God sent a messenger with authority to the man. That's what the word commanded means. Saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now understand this. God is talking to the man. Can you see the word man there in verse 16? The Lord God commanded the man. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man, you shall not eat of it. For in the day, man, that you eat of it, man, you shall surely die. Man? So if man has the authority and the responsibility, how did the woman take over? Because she obviously did. Man lost his authority because he neglected his responsibility. Now let's go to verse 2 of chapter 3 and listen to what the woman said, and I'll show you why the man is responsible for everything the woman did. And the woman said unto the serpent, this is the woman talking now. She didn't hear God because God commanded the man. Eve could only have heard this from the man because God didn't say it to her. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, she wasn't even created yet. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's not what God said. God said, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. So Eve doesn't have the story straight, does she? The man was given a sermon and he changed it, didn't he? He added, he left out freely and he left out every. But he's not through yet. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God didn't say that either. He said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, any tree could have been in the middle of the garden or in the midst. Midst means somewhere in the center. Could have meant a lot of trees. So actually, Eve didn't know which tree was being talked about, did she? Because there was 87 million conzillion trees in the garden. Now, the bigger the garden, the center of the garden can be relative. So a tree in the midst of the garden could have been any of a lot of trees. You know, the sad fact of the matter is, Eve didn't know which tree. Why? Because Mr. Hotshot didn't tell her which tree, that's why. Mr. Hotshot thinks it all and only says part of it. He said, just don't eat of any of those, that was the tree there somewhere in the middle. How would you like to be in the Garden of Eden, have nothing to eat other than the trees, and say, one of them is deadly poison, Which one? Well, it's somewhere there in the middle. Adam's almost as big a jerk as you are, you know? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, which leaves Eve now with a lot of options, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. You're lying, Adam. God said nothing about touching it. So you see, now Adam has changed tree of the knowledge of good and evil to tree in the midst of the garden. He also has said, neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say, don't touch it. And the last thing Eve said, lest ye die. You might die. There's a chance you might die if you touch it. There's a chance you might die if you eat it. No, God said, thou shalt surely die. So what happened here? Well, Adam left out freely. He left out every. He changed tree of the knowledge of good and evil to tree in the midst of the garden. And he said, you shall not touch it. He added that. And he changed surely die to lest ye die. So what was the problem here? Adam did not agree with his authority. He lied to Eve. He told Eve, God said. And God didn't say that. Adam did. Somehow, like I've heard this said before, Reuben said, when you want to make your point, Reuben said. But if we check what Reuben said and what you say, you're lying. I didn't say that. Now, sometimes someone will say, well, yes, you did say such and such. Yes, I did. I said it to your wife, not to you. Yes, I did say that to your husband, not to you. It was not given to you for you to re-preach it. That's my job. So you see, the problem with this is Adam lied to Eve. Now, Eve didn't know what the rules were. But understand this. Look how Adam did this. First of all, he left out freely. And he left out every. Because he wanted to be in control. But then he said, the tree which is in the midst of the garden, which means, I'm not going to tell you. Well, are we going to go out to, I don't know yet. Do you know when we're leaving? I don't know yet. Are we leaving? Maybe. It's just in the midst of the garden, somehow, whenever I'm ready. Whenever I'm good and ready, by the way. Just won't tell her. And then he said, ye shall not eat of it, which is what God said, neither shall ye touch it. Isn't it amazing how the rules that God gave the man get so much harder when the man turns and gives them to the wife? And I say to you, man, this is what God wants you to do, but you're free. You can choose whichever you want, and I'm not going to get upset at you. I'm not going to get angry at you, and I'm not going to pout at you. Because God said, you have a choice. Then you turn around and give it to your wife, and you add, better not touch it either. You add more than what God said to you. You add these stringent, if you don't do it, I'm going to be upset, I'm going to be angry, I'm going to be critical. All of the things that God is not with you when you heard it from this man. So see, here's the problem, men. You screw up the sermon, you take some things out, add other things, and make it harder on her than it is on you. But he set her up to fail, didn't he? Because he said, just one of the trees. Just one of the trees in the middle of the garden. So the serpent said, well, there's a tree over there that'll make you powerful. I don't think God meant that one. Well, I don't know. My husband said in the midst of the garden, this is pretty much in the middle. Yeah, but your husband said, if you touch it, you'll die. So touch it and see if you die. And she touched it and she didn't die, because God never said she was going to die if she touched it.
That's right.
And then she said, oh yeah, well, I didn't die. Must not be the tree then. Go ahead and eat it. She got set up, didn't she? If Adam wanted to be mothered by his wife. And the only way he could do it is to change what he heard as he gave it to his wife. Now, in a minute, he's going to blame her for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, he's the only one that heard the command directly.
Yeah.
He changed it so that a Philadelphia lawyer couldn't have... Now, listen, Dumbo could have won this case against this guy. But in spite of all these changes, when the wrath of God comes down, guess who the man is going to blame? Now, the woman at this point heard nothing. So it is obvious that Adam did not agree with his authority. He gave his wife the story the way he wanted it. I think Adam wanted to eat, didn't you? Listen, if someone would tell you, in the middle shelf marked A at Vons, all the top shelf is full of poison, and you're sending your wife to Vons that day, and your wife doesn't know poison from anything, so I'm going shopping. Well, you know, somewhere in there around the middle, somewhere around there at Vons, there's going to be some poison. Well, how will I know? Well, touch the can, and if you don't die, then go ahead, it's okay. And then she comes home and opens the can, and you're going to eat it, knowing it's poison? No, you would tell her, do not get on row number A. Don't bring any of that. That's poison. Why? Because you wouldn't want to eat the poison. But see, Adam did want to disobey God. But he wanted somebody to blame. He didn't like what he heard. When he was told no, he didn't like it. So he set up his wife to do his dirty work so that he has somebody to blame. So Eve did not agree with her authority, but she did repeat the lie. See, Eve only said what she was told to say. Now let's find out what Eve did when she saw the tree. Verse 6 of chapter 3. And when the woman saw the tree... Now, understand, I'm showing you now that human government, the way God set it up, sets up the man as the responsible authority. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, that's the way that it is. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. Now, where do you suppose, who do you think might have told her, hey, we get high on that stuff? That's going to taste good, Eve. And more, I tell you, it looks good. Look for the one that looks good. And I'll tell you, it tastes good. And it's going to make us smart. Oh, man, we're going to know. Where did Eve learn all this? See, Eve just kind of like happened. She was just there one day. Now, she needed to be taught and told all of these things. Who do you suppose told her these things? God didn't. And the serpent didn't say anything, because he only said, yea, hath God said. So who do you think told her that it was good for food? Who do you think told her that it would make them wise? Adam, of course. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Now, the only one that heard the commandment was standing right there with her while Eve was telling all these lies, and he never said a word. Never said a word. It reminds me of the counseling sessions that I go to so often, where the wife will look in and say, well, you didn't say that. I didn't know you were upset at that. He was there and said nothing until we get to the counseling session. or until you're arguing with one another. Well, see, Adam was right there with her, and he didn't say a word. But he did eat. So Adam was with her. Why didn't he correct her then? Because that's what he wanted her to do. Why? So he could have someone to blame. Now let's find out, who did Adam want to blame for his sin? Genesis 3:12. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest." This is not the woman I married. The woman I married, I had her under my thumb. The woman I married was a blithering idiot. And now you've come and you've taught her all these things. It's the woman you gave me that's giving me a bad time now. The one I made, I like that one. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So he blames two people, God and the woman. Oh, I can relate to this real well. Because I always get blamed because your eyes of your wives are open now. And yes, it is the woman that God gave us to be with you, not your daughter anymore, and not your mommy anymore. It's the woman God gave you. And that's the one you don't like now. What's wrong now? Well, it's the woman thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So when the woman does wrong, she is reflecting her authority. Well, if that's true, we can't be respecter of persons. If a woman does wrong, she's reflecting her authority. Well, we can't slight the men. So when the man does wrong, he is reflecting his authority. See, I'm going to take this all the way to the top. I'm not going to play favorites with the woman. When the woman does wrong, she's reflecting her authority. But it's just as true when the man does wrong, he's also reflecting his authority. So the question now is one of authority. So now I ask you this: does Christ treat your wife the way you do? Then he's not your authority. Let me ask you another question. Does Reuben treat your wife the way you do? Then Reuben's not your authority either. Let me ask you another question. Does your father and mother treat your wife the way you do? Bingo! Bingo! That's your authority yet. But let me ask you another question. Does her father and her mother treat her the way you do? Bingo again. So see, here's the problem. It isn't a question of God picking and choosing. God is demonstrating who the authority is. Yes, it is true that whatever the wife does, she's reflecting her authority. It's also true that when the man, obviously she's reflecting her husband. So the husband has the same cop out. Well, who am I reflecting? Well, I ask you, who treats your wife like you do? If Christ and Reuben treat her the way you do, then Christ and Reuben are to blame. But if Jesus Christ and her pastor talk to her and treat her different than you do, then you have another authority. And all you have to do is look just as far as your mommy and daddy. Now, your mother does not think that your wife knows how to take care of her own kids. She's constant. Don't do that. Don't do this. You know, it's too cold in here. It's too hot in here. You're not feeding them right. No, you're not giving them any milk. They're going to die. They treat her like if she's a blithering idiot. That's your authority, friend. That's who you're protecting. And here's the irony of it all. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, call no man your father upon the earth. Call no man your authority upon this earth. See, you cannot help treating your wife the way your authority treats your wife. Now, all in this God's earth that your wife is asking you to do is look at Jesus Christ and the pastor and say, would you mind treating me that way? Now, what your problem is, she prefers Christ's treatment to yours. There's your problem. It's a problem of authority. Now, human government is vested in the man. But the problem is, you're no more governing than the man in the moon. Your mother and dad are. And I will tell you, in no case do you actually govern, because I don't actually govern here. It's my authority that governs. Now, if someone in this room can truthfully say that I don't treat you the way Christ does, let's talk about it. I tell you the truth. Amen. Oh, yes, but I don't like the way you do it. Yeah, I know. What they said about Christ is, never a man spake this way. Yeah. Never a man spake like this man. And somebody else says, this is a hard saying. I can't take this. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. So that takes care of the heavenly routine. But the next verse says, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, one is your leader, one is anointed, one is appointed over you to lead you, Christ. Notice it does not say Jesus Christ. If it said Jesus Christ, that would eliminate every pastor on the face of the earth. Would have even eliminated the apostles. He said Christ, which means the anointed one. In other words, anyone that God anoints over you is your master. Now he says, don't you be called a master, because you only have one master, the one that's anointed over you. And you say, well, what does that mean? You think you're anointed over me and you're the... I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. Yes, I'm anointed over you as your pastor. But wives, he's anointed over you as a husband. And husband, she's anointed as a wife. And let me tell you something else. Did you know that your job, the place that you work, your boss, is anointed by God to protect you and take care of you? Did you know that? But you see, you don't like masters over you unless it happens to be George Washington. You don't give a damn what God's evaluation of you is. I've been telling you for years, man, you're late. You don't do your job well. You're sloughing in this area. Man, you need to improve here and there. It's just like talking to this wall. But you let the boss at work say, yes, well, you just, your socks don't match. You will change them like that for dollars. See, so the problem with human government essentially is that it exists. No one wants to govern. You know, here's the irony. I used to think to be everybody wants to control. That's not true. Nobody does. Yeah. Why? Because the minute someone takes control, now we've got someone responsible. So they're saying, no, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me either, not me either. But human government, I hate to tell you this, exists whether you like it or not. So you see, we have the essence now of what human government's about. You may not like it, but George Bush is the commander-in-chief whether you like him or not. And when it comes time to vote for president, doesn't matter what the Congress did. Right now you have a Democratic Congress that for 4 years has refused to pass any legislation at all in terms of the economy. Yep. Now that they have screwed it up because they refused to cooperate with the authority, now they're coming and says, well, see what your president has done?
That's right.
Well, the legislation has been on their desk for 4 years, not 3 years, actually. Now, I'm not saying it's good legislation or bad legislation. I don't know if it would have worked or wouldn't have worked. I don't know. But I do know one thing. The people that didn't have the authority, that weren't elected to be president, are sabotaging the one that is.
Yep.
Because the legislation isn't passed. Foot dragging, in other words. Making sure that what the authority proposes does not get implemented. Does that sound familiar? And then you turn around and say, vote the sucker out. There's something wrong with him. I do not understand a system yet that will give us a Republican president and a Democratic Congress. You know they're not going to work together. That's Adam and Eve. That's you and your wife. Equal authority. One has the judicial response, or the administrative, the executive rather, and the other one has the legislative. That does not work. All you have to do is look at the system. And now we have a group of men that are criticizing the president because he hasn't done anything, yet they have voted down everything just about that he's proposed, unless he had enough votes to ram it down their throat. But since they control both houses of Congress, very little has gotten by them. What a sad, sounds like your family. You just don't let it happen. And that way we can blame the authority. Now, I'm not here making a political speech. I don't know if Bush is a good president or not, indifferent. I don't know. All I'm saying is we never got a chance to find out.
Yeah.
He may have been a good president. We don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe those ideas he had would have been good. We don't know.
Yeah.
But let's change that a little bit. I think God's a good God.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus is one good Savior. I think Jesus Christ is a good provider. I think he's a good protector. I think he's a good physician. I think he's a good provider. The problem is you keep refusing to pass the legislation. You won't enact it. You won't let it happen. Because then you can sit back and say, well, it doesn't work. Human government, in my opinion, stinks. I, for one, will be glad when Jesus Christ returns and takes over.
Amen.
And I'm particularly, if people in this church don't change, or whoever I know that doesn't change, when I hear that trumpet, I'm going to find you. I'm going to stand right next to you and just say, because you're going to sing a different tune then. You're not going to say, God, what's it all about? I'm so unhappy. And he's going to say, stay here then. Oh, no, I'll go. Serve you right if he left you behind. If I was God, you wouldn't go. Well, maybe I'd let you go. I'd make two trips. So I'd let you sweat a while first. Let's go back and find out what you're passing up because you refuse to be a Noah. Verse 10 of chapter 9 says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, that word fear there, that's the first time it appears in the Bible. God never intended us to be afraid of things. The first time the word fear appears in the Bible, it's when things are afraid of us.
Right.
But you're afraid of everything. You're a coward. It amazes me how you stomp around like Hitler in your house, but I've seen you operate with people out on the job, and you are a coward. You're a Tinkerbell. And you will even admit it. You just can't assert yourself where you should. You know why? Because you assert yourself where you shouldn't. Plainly misuse of authority. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air. And listen, that word beast, now he's talking to Noah. And his sons. You know what beast means? Just a living creature, something that has breath in it. That does include you, Mama.
Yeah, that's right.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every woman. Of the earth, every creature, all the children, everything with breath in it, dogs, cats, kids,
yeah.
Wives, everybody. Well, then that would say, well, wait, how does this work? If everybody's afraid of everybody else, then how does that? No, he didn't say that. He said, Noah, the fear and the dread of Noah will be on every creature. So what is your problem? You're not Noah. You don't have emotional peace. You don't have peace of mind. You never shut up. You don't rest. You're always introducing evidence to the case. We never resolve anything. The same issues that we started with are still open. You're still introducing evidence. I don't know what you're waiting for, but God's waiting to make a decision. And I already know what it's going to be. You're innocent, and you're blessed. And you're scot-free. I don't know why you're afraid of that decision. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Another thing, the word hand means power. In other words, everything on the face of this earth is in your power. Which means everything that affects me is in my power. That doesn't mean everything's in my power. Because that would make me something that you're not. So everything in your world is in your power. Everything in my world is in my power. I've told you 100 times, that's the only way God can judge you. So he said, first of all, the fear of you and the dread of you is going to be on everybody and everything. Well, we look up the word fear, and it means to revere. To be had in reverence. So he said, there are, and then he said, then some of them are going to dread you. Revere means to regard you with deep respect, love, and awe. Well, some do and some don't. But he said, the ones that don't revere you, they're going to dread you. And dread means to break down either by violence or by confusion, to beat them down, to crush and break them. Now that's what Moses, or rather Noah, was told. He said, now, some of the people are going to fear you. They're going to regard you with deep respect. You're calm, you're cool, and you're collected, Noah. You're not angry, you're not upset. You're not trying to force anybody to do anything. So he said, you're going to be revered, and you're going to be dreaded. Which means what about Noah? Well, he says to Noah, some are going to regard you with deep respect. Deep love and deep awe. They're going to have you show you great respect, great affection, great honor, and great deference. Everybody else is going to dread you. You're going to have to crush them and break them. You're going to have to break them down by violence or by confusion. You have to beat them down. Sounds like counseling and preaching, doesn't it? See, so there's only two classes of people. There's only two ways to deal with Noah. You either respect him and show him reverence and awe, or he'll beat you down. Just that simple. Now, what is happening in every relationship that you have, bar none, every relationship, someone either respects and honors you, or you're trying to beat him down. But what you need is the same either way. Now, here's the problem. If you were peaceful, if you were had the characteristics that Noah has, what his name means, some would regard you with deep respect, love, and awe. I understand that. I enjoy that sometimes. But you see, that's not where my responsibility ends. He says the rest of them are going to dread you. The only way to deal with them is to break them down, to beat them down, to discourage them. So essentially, he says there's going to be 3 reactions to you. Love, affection, deference, violence, or confusion. Tower of Babel. I understand how that works. I understand that that's necessary. Here's the problem that you have. If you don't get the respect, the love, and the affection, you're crushed and you're broken. And then you're confused. So see, you're your own Noah, aren't you? See, God did this for a specific reason. He gave you this authority for a specific reason. He said, these are all the men. I got four men on the face of this earth. And out of these four men, we're going to be billions someday. Conzillions of people have lived since. And he said, guys, I'm depending on you four to start this human race in the right direction. Noah, I'm depending on you to give your sons this example and then to ride herd on them so that we can start the human race in the right direction. And Noah, I'm giving you all the authority, everything. You all received it. I received it. We all started out equal. Well, how did Noah lose his? What happened to Noah? The same thing that happened to Adam. He got drunk. He misused food. Stuff, it'll make you drunk. It'll intoxicate you. But Noah did anyway. See, we all start so even, just like Adam did. Why do you think I always preach about keeping your system clean? Go to verse 20 of chapter 9. I'm going to show you how this happens, and then we're going home. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Grapes to eat. Grapes are to eat. Verse 21, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Did you know Dad's in there smoking? Did you know Dad's in there doing this or that? See, they saw what Dad was doing, and he exposed himself to his children and started the downfall of the whole human race all over again, over food. But now the children are involved. He did it in front of his kids. He drank of the wine, became drunk, and was uncovered within his tent. He started doing some things that the kids should have never seen. Never should they have seen that. First of all, Noah shouldn't have done it. But that's not really the essential problem I'm dealing with here. He did it in a place where the children could see it. And because of that, a whole nation of people is going to be cursed. Ham, that nation, is cursed because he went in and he saw the nakedness of his father. And he went out there and told his brothers about it. But you see, the brothers must have been going to a good church. Because when they heard that their dad was inside, and we don't know what he was doing, they put some cloaks over their heads and walked in backwards to where their father was with a blanket. And walking in backwards, they went and they threw a cover over him until he slept it off. Because they didn't want to see the nakedness of their father. How many times did I tell you, if you got to do it, don't do it in front of the kids. That was the essential problem. See, Noah would have lived and died, and that would have been the end of it. Whatever he did in the tent, he would have done in the tent. But you know who Ham's kids are? All the wild people that are blowing up all the airplanes and murdering people and trying to, the Palestinians, all those people, they come from the lineage of Ham. Because God said, you are going to be servants. What you did is wrong. You and all your nation are going to be anti-God. You're going to be anti-authority because you like to find things wrong with the authority. And then you like to point it out to everybody. And I'm going to make you a servant. You're going to be a wild man. You're going to be a vagabond. They still don't have a land of their own. And even when they get a land, they don't know what to do with it. The camels live better than they do. They're under the curse. Why? Because they didn't like authority. God said, Noah, you are the man. But we got some hams in here. And then that's bad enough, but then you go home and you show it to your kids. So he was uncovered within his tent.
And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. The whole problem started all over again, right within the family. And guess what? Food again. Innocence, food. Now we have human government. It's going to go by the boards. Food. The next one is promise to Abraham. Guess what happens to the birthright? Sold for food. Somewhere along the line, I think you're going to get the, you should get the impression that I know what I'm talking about. Everywhere in this Bible, the story is the same. The names are changed to protect the innocent, but the story is the same. Well, what was Noah's problem? He was drunken, intoxicated. Intoxication means to become poisoned by a drug, a serum, or a toxin. In other words, when you eat or drink something with toxins in it, you are intoxicated. Well, some would say, well, yeah, but man, I watch my diet now. Let me give you the other definition of intoxication. A feeling of wild excitement, frenzy, or anger. How many times have I told you are drunk on your own juices? You are intoxicated. Intoxicate means to be smeared with poison, to be drugged. It means to affect your nervous system to the point that you cause a loss of self-control. You cannot control yourself because of intoxication. And it isn't just what you eat and drink, it's what you manufacture with all your wild excitement. I got to have fun. It's got to be exciting. I got to feel good. Well, the problem is you're intoxicated. Intoxicate also means not only to be excited to a point beyond self-control, it means to become wild with excitement and happiness. And all of this is caused by a toxin, by the way. That's why God said, the day you do that, thou shalt surely die. You're introducing toxins into your own system that are going to eventually cause toxemia. Let me define toxin and toxemia, and then I'm going home. Toxin, any of various unstable poisonous compounds produced by some microorganism and causing diseases. In other words, the things you eat. They have those unstable poisonous compounds created by those microorganisms. That's what causes your diseases. But it also means any of various similar poisons related to proteins formed in plants or secreted by certain animals. In other words, toxins can be secreted by a human being. And it makes the analogy as secreted by certain animals as snake venom. Oh, wow. So you see, the individual who's always excited, always wanting excitement and anger, is full of poison. One of these days, if you have the guts, let me show you some of the reports of your children. When they pick up the toys, when they pick up the little dolls, the little puppets, and say, who's dad? Pick a puppet for dad. Snake. They always pick the snake, don't they? Which always correlates to a very wild, excited, emotional, angry individual, full of poison. I hate to tell you, some of you guys get picked, they pick a little doll with the skirt. But I'll keep it, I won't go beyond that. You're already afraid to ask for the report, I don't want to throw you off completely. The final result of this drunkenness is toxema. Toxema means a condition resulting from distribution throughout the body by the bloodstream of poisonous substances, especially toxins produced by pathogenic bacteria, that stuff from the outside that you eat, or by cells in your own body. You can create toxema in your own body just out of your own cells. So you see, there's two ways to kill yourself. either by taking poison from the outside or manufacturing your own. Personally, my own opinion, I would rather be around a person who takes in poison from the outside. I get along better with drug addicts, alcoholics, and bimbos, because they take in poison from the outside. But you exciting, excitable, angry, upset individuals who manufacture your own poison, all animals that manufacture their own poison, snakes, scorpions, all of them, they have a desire to pass it along, sure. Pass it on. They like to poison others. Scorpions are the dumbest of all. They can't find someone to sting, they'll sting themselves. That's how much desire they have. See, once you get that much poison, you got to give it to somebody. You have to poison somebody. So have you ever noticed the people that just sit there and eat themselves into oblivion? The people that sit there and drink, they're kind of cool and they sit back and they just kind of just die. They don't create a lot of problems. But notice these angry, emotional, critical, judgmental, fluctuating kind of people that manufacture their own poison. They're always biting and chomping and wanting to poison someone else. They're the most dangerous ones. Why? Because they're usually the Christians. Toxema's a killer. And so now we start, and we're just starting with human government. Human government essentially means God has given you all the power and all of the authority, and the only way that you can use it right is to be a Noah. Everybody else misused that power. They all had it, which means they had the power to do anything. Sunday when you come back. No, I'll say Sunday when you come back. You're going to find out, because God, when God gives you power, He gives you power. You're going to find out God's going to say, my God, look at that. They've got all this power. There's nothing we can do now to stop them. They're building a tower to heaven. They're creating their own religion. They're creating their own everything. They've disregarded God completely. They're all in agreement. They're all in one accord. Nothing can be restrained from. We can't stop them from doing anything. That's God speaking now. He said there's only one way to stop them. Confuse their languages so they don't understand each other. And there's where we are right now. You're sitting here with all the power, all the authority that God gave, but He's got to confuse your language so you don't understand each other, because you're misusing your power. So then He sends along someone like me to say, hey, let's cut the comedy. Let's get back to the Word, and let's all start speaking one language again, so that then you can use your authority right. But see, you have the authority. God didn't take it away from him at Babel. He didn't take anything away from him. That is not God. What he did is he confused their languages so that nobody understands anybody, so no one can accomplish anything. So you're trying at home, trying to do one thing, but your wife doesn't agree. So she has equal power, equal authority from God, not over you, but over her own life. So it's kind of a Mexican standoff. And then the kids see that and they do their thing too. And out of that, God comes along and says, look, here's what we need. We need to get back to basics. We need to go to church. We need to start talking about the Word. And we need to all come under agreement and start speaking one language again. That's what we need. Then you can start using your power and authority again. But see, right now, you go to work, wherever you go, they just don't agree with you, do they? And you don't agree with them. Well, what's the problem? You're not a Noah. And God didn't take the authority away from you. You lost it for two reasons. You lost your cool, and you're trying to blame everyone else, and you have the authority. You have the responsibility. I'll leave you with one last thought. Some people will tell me, well, I don't believe that I have all the responsibility here. I say, fine. And I've said this to many of you. I'm going to say it out and open now so that I don't have to repeat it 17 more times. I'm going to agree with you. Wherever you think you don't have the responsibility, you don't have it. And I'm going to tell you how to get out of the responsibility. You make me a list of where you don't want to be responsible, where you don't think you're responsible. And we'll put that list right here on the pulpit. And then make me another list of where you don't want authority. And let's compare the list, hypocrite. And you will find you want authority in everything, but you want selective responsibility. And therein lies the difficulty. If you were honest and half the man you think you are, you would say, I don't believe I'm responsible for this, this, and this. And I'll say, fine, then give her the authority for that, that, and that, and you're home free. Oh, no, no, no. I want the authority over those things. I just don't think I have the responsibility. No, the two go together. And if you think about it, make another list. Make a list of all the places where your children do not hold you as the authority. Make a list of the places where your wife doesn't hold you as the authority. And it will coincide with your original list that you made where you didn't think you were responsible. Try it and you'll see that I'm right. And I say this with all the bottom of my heart to help you. I just don't know what to do anymore. Except start all over again and tell you the same thing all over again. But I'm not going to change my story. Because it comes right out of this book. And we've only started with human government. You wait till we start building this tower. You're gonna say, well, that's 174 Roanoke. It's going to be a perfect image of your home and how you live. And your children are going to sit there and say, yeah, go ahead, preach it to them. Yeah, that's Dad, see, I told you. And it shouldn't be that way. You're wasting all of your power. And God is confused. You're so confused, you don't even understand what you think you think. The Tower of Babel, and God wants to make us of one language and one speech and one accord. What I'm trying to do is find a place where we can agree. Some place. Let's start anywhere. Do you agree that this is El Cajon? Can we start there? I don't care where. Let's find something. But all I get out of you is what you don't agree with. Tell me what you do. Let's start out on a positive vein. And let's start looking where we do agree. Must be something we agree about. And then we'll build on that. And then I'll show you how to get your power back and how to become a Noah. Your life will change. Or your life will change. One of the two. Brother Brad Rogers, would you close the service in prayer and then handle the prayer requests?